Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey folks, you're listening to the Dork Forest, or about to. The website's JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like determiners, FamilyPetAncestry.com, if you like jokes, because that just leads you to JackieCation.com. Those are the websites, the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He'll sing the song at the end, his words to the Mexican hat dance. Patrick Brady fixes this audio. Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. There are several ways to support the show if you want to support the show. Most basic way, the PayPal button. Donate. Knock yourselves out. There's a PayPal button on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. You can also Venmo me at Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me and say things. Another way to support the show, pretty painless, the Amazon button. On both JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there's a link, a banner to the Amazon page where you just order like normal. Doesn't cost you extra. It just supports the show. There is also merch, whole merch situation. You can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get my stand-up comedy t-shirts. All the t-shirts are union-made here in the United States of America, so they run a little big because they're made by Americans. There's also my CDs and my DVD. All of that is available digitally as well, but if you want hard copies, you go to JackieCation.com, the merch page. Not available on the merch page are a couple of enamel pins that I haven't added to the merch page yet, and they are Meat Shield pins and Spooky Reading Girl pins. Email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, if you want those pins. There's also a calendar of my stand-up comedy. Golden opportunity to see me live. And there are premium episodes of The Dork Forest, which are episodes that I've taped live, and they cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks for them. So if you've run through all of the free ones, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com and get a live premium episode if you'd like. The YouTube page is on fire. That's right. There's teaser clips on the Jackie Cation Dork Forest YouTube page, but there's also the entire episode, the whole episode of The Dork Forest are now uploaded to YouTube. So if you can't listen to iTunes or whatever at work, you can just have this on in the background with a beautiful picture of the guest and the logo. Enough already. I'm probably missing something, but let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room with Mandy Stattmiller. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. Now, we don't know each other.
No, you did my podcast one time. You were very gracious.
1,000 years ago New York City, I think.
I reached out to you on Twitter, and you replied. You are incredibly efficient and reliable in your communication.
Oh, I am?
Including booking this. No, it's a compliment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would be a great CEO if you ever want to do that.
Sure. That is also you never know. You need a B plan
you
at all times.
You could be the CEO. No, well, you don't. Not when you're as talented as you.
But why? Wait a minute.
You could be the CEO of comedy. Just all of comedy.
Oh, I am. I am the CEO of comedy. A lot of people don't know this. I'm the boss of comedy. I'm certainly bossy. But here we go. Mandy Stattmiller, you guys, wrote a book called Unwifeable.
That's right.
Which is hilarious and filthy and heartfelt.
Thanks.
Here's what I've done. I've read some parts of it.
Oh, cool.
I'm
awesome.
Going to tell you that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, no. That's so, what I mean, that's...
It's as much as you expected?
I mean, I'm honored. Yeah, it's great.
Any part of it? Do it. All right.
Yeah. So, what did you read chapter 8? Because that's the real dirty sex chapter.
No, okay. I didn't. I read essentially the clip that I remember offhand that I read was the one where the guy is saying that he wants you to be totally honest with him.
Oh, right.
And I was like, that, I've read that romance novel. Someone has turned that into a power struggle between a dude and a lady in a romance novel. And I, Jackie Cation, have read that romance novel.
That's great.
Possibly. Yeah. So,
that's great. That's amazing.
It turns out that that guy might read romance novels.
I'm basically the 6'2" blonde equivalent of Daniel Steele. That's me.
Oh, very nice.
No, I don't know.
She's. I've never read any Daniel Steele.
I've only read. I read one Daniel Steele novel, and it was very relaxing.
It was.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, sure. And a blur, I'm sure, because that one will just cruise right along.
Yeah, it's just there's something about putting your brain to just relaxing sleep.
It's why people watch reality television. You can just check out. Yeah. You're like, I'm not these people.
Yeah.
And then you just keep plowing along. Like, the Dork Forest has had many people who enjoy pro wrestling, many people who enjoy RuPaul's Drag Race or Housewives or The Great Bake Off.
I've never even heard of that one.
The Great British Bake Off is a cooking thing.
Okay.
And, it's very soothing. It's like watching fish or golf.
I came up with a reality show idea today called The Real Milkmen. Totally fucked that up. The Real Milkmen of Outer Queens.
Is there still milkmen? Are there people still delivering milk in
Queens? Oh, you know what?
Queens?
I need to abandon that concept. I did not even think about that.
Enough.
I didn't even think about that because it's such
it's a real job.
It's such a trope.
Yes.
That in my mind, I think of it as real.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
and I've lived in LA before for like 3 months.
Okay. And now you live in New York City though.
Yeah, I live in Chelsea.
Okay. So you live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
I love that. And I much prefer it to Brooklyn.
Oh, do you? Did you live in Brooklyn for a while?
Yeah, I've lived in a couple different parts of Brooklyn, Bushwick and Park Slope, and then I also lived for a couple of months in Queens.
Okay.
So, which is where all the comedians live.
Well, yeah, just essentially they keep moving out because of the poverty. It's just like, but then as you become more successful, Jim Gaffigan, he lives right there in Manhattan right there.
He does.
And so even Ryan Hamilton told me he just bought an apartment.
Jim was very kind and blurbed my book, and I'm sending him a copy of it. And so, yes, I can confirm. Very nice Manhattan address.
Yes, I met him at a coffee shop right by his apartment. And he was like, yeah, I have 5 kids. And I said, in an apartment?
Crazy, right?
And he was like, it's a big apartment. I was like, good. Good to know it, because otherwise you're stacked like cordwood and the bunk beds are out of control. So I
live with my husband in a studio.
Oh,
in a studio. Yeah. And everyone just is like, how have you not murdered each other yet?
So. Well, that's love. That's what that is. That's it. Yeah. It's this house is very tiny as well.
Yeah.
And we live on top of each other. But it's L.A., so it's we can leave, get in our cars or our castles. And but Dork Forest, let's do it.
Yeah.
You like the TV show ER.
Well, so, when you asked me to pick a topic, I have been kind of in this ER world for the last couple of months since it was released on Hulu.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
I've been watching it nonstop.
Okay.
Literally nonstop. And
well, there's something like a million, wait, 94 to 2009.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna
13
be,
years.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be real with you. The last 8 episodes, I've only watched previously on ER, on the Uber ride here, which I had to get an Uber because I declared Chapter 11 in 2012 and my credit score. And I also haven't slept, so I'm not able to say the word credit score.
Right, right.
Slightly
punchy.
My credit score is like, I don't know, like -100 or something.
Sure.
Like
fair
they
enough.
Call the cops when I try and rent a car, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so I took an Uber
what
here.
What does she need it for?
So I took an Uber here and I was like, oh, thank God I can catch up on the last. Because I really thought I was going to make it because I was, you know, pounding them like alcohol.
The last 8 episodes of the whole series?
Yeah, the whole series, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't require anyone have to listen to the Dork Forest to be on. I don't even listen to the Dork Forest. Don't worry about it. Rangers, I love you.
Yeah.
But, I don't know anything about the Dork Forest. You could have lied to me. I have an episode coming up about Charmed.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first 3 seasons.
Oh, okay. How many episodes have you seen of
ER? Three?
Yeah. Yeah.
Over 13 years?
Yeah.
Here's what the only ER story I have was in 1998. I was on the television program Murphy Brown. Small bit part.
Wow.
On Murphy Brown. I was an airport cop.
That's what caused all the problems in society is Murphy Brown.
I don't know that, but whatever I know
I'm trying to be dry, but I don't have very good delivery.
It's,
but like that's when I think, wasn't that when Dan Quayle I just feel like Murphy Brown was the big culture wars kind of turning point.
No, I think it was Archie Bunker.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And before I think the Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, I mean, if you're 42 years old and you think the world revolves around your viewpoint,
fair enough.
then it's Murphy Brown.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, but that's amazing. So you were on...
I saw George Clooney without a shirt playing basketball because he was on ER.
Oh, right.
That's
yes.
what... Because it was he was on the... It was 1998.
Yeah.
So he was... that's the only thing I know about ER, was that George Clooney was on it.
Okay.
So, but I think it was a spinoff of St. Elsewhere or something, right? Or no?
ER? No, I don't think so.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't heard that from anything.
Okay.
I've
so what?
Read about it. Yeah.
ER's a, here's what I know.
Yeah.
It's about a hospital.
Right.
Emergency room. Gonna go with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so it was started, it came on in the air in, I want to say 95 or 94, and then it was on the air for just forever. It went off the air in 2009, and eventually they just stopped showing the cast at the beginning because it was just like John Stamos and an extra on Roseanne.
Because initially it was only about the doctors.
Yeah.
Was it always
it stayed about the doctors.
Okay. Because and in the beginning, the smallest amount of research possible.
Oh, yeah, no.
Anthony Edwards, who I think he's a comic,
great.
Isn't he?
A comic?
Wasn't he a comic, Anthony Edwards? I'm wrong. Well, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm almost always wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So, George Clooney, Sherry Stringfield.
Yeah. Right. So Sherry Stringfield.
Noah Wiley?
Yes.
Wiley.
Hunky Noah Wiley, yeah.
Square jawed.
Heartthrob.
Eric LaSalle. And Juliana Margulies?
Juliana Margulies.
Margulies.
From The Good Wife.
From The Good Wife. Guess, I literally am watching two television shows at this time. One of them is Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. The other one is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like I should be, just like I was evicted from Avis, I should be evicted from the Dork Forest. I'm like one of those girls.
But if you binge watch 13 seasons, of ER,
15 seasons since it came out on Hulu a couple months ago,
that's insane.
I know.
That's a dorkdom of epic.
Oh, thank
epic.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is
I
it?
I did the same thing with Lost when I was writing my book.
Okay.
Like my editor was like, "Are you the world's hugest Lost fan? Because you've had 3 Lost references in your book."
Oh my
Maybe
God.
Scale it back. But it's like you get in these little microcosmic worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at the New York Post for quite a while, the end of 2005 to the beginning of 2012, and then worked at ExoJane for a couple of years. And so most of my life I've worked in offices where my own anxiety can be kind of mediated by the occasional social distraction and interaction.
Right.
I've worked largely at home, freelance, doing different things since 2015.
Okay.
And been living with my husband, Pat Dixon, since...
Stand-up comic, who I've worked
comic,
with.
Yes. And since 2015.
Okay.
And we obviously chat...
But it's a studio apartment, you just said.
Yeah.
And you're working from there? Is he working from home?
Yeah.
Or is he on the road?
Yeah, no, he's working from home. I mean, he goes on the road, but like we're mostly
staring at each other.
Sitting on top of each other trying to
write
words.
This is our setup right here with the two
computers
that face each other like cubicles.
Yeah.
And then we talk about Star Trek Discovery over there in the kitchen sometimes. That's the water cooler.
I find that binge watching a show, like these people become my friends.
Right.
So all these doctors are my very good friends. And like, you know, Pat will come through and I'll just be like, you know, the...
Things are going on.
The charming, flirty brunette, she just died in a helicopter accident.
Oh.
And I'll be like, okay. You know, like I'll give him the kind of...
right.
Which that is not... That did not happen. So that was a good misdirect.
Oh, there you go.
If anyone...
That is not a spoiler if anyone hasn't seen this show from 1994. is it set up kind of like this where you're watching it on TV or are you watching it on your laptop with headphones adjacent?
Okay, well, so I have the Bose headphones that hook into the... I have a... big ass TV about that size
right.
On the wall. And then what I did was I spent like thousands of dollars using handymen from TaskRabbit to convert the apartment into a fake, you know, semblance of privacy type living workspace. So there is the ceilings are probably a little taller than yours, quite tall ceilings. And so I have floor to ceiling kind of soundproof curtains.
Oh, you were trying to you want to soundproof it so that you can work in.
Well, so what it is that like we have a code. We say we've come up with this.
Not a lot of people
live
by a code. Just repo men.
Oh, we have,
and you guys.
We have many codes.
Many codes.
So the code that we have finally decided that really works is we say to each other, silence on. And
okay.
When you say silence on, it means leave me the fuck alone. And then,
fair enough.
And then you don't have to have a big conversation about it.
No, no. Andy and I have such a thing. It's called I'm going under. That's our code.
Perfect.
And
yeah.
Then we put the headphones on. And there's very little to no chitter chat.
Yeah,
it better
you don't
be important.
Have to. Everyone gets it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and so he'll close the drapes on where his working space is, and then I've always worked from my bed, and so I just
sit on your bed.
Yeah. When I finally cashed this last book deposit or book advance money, I may buy a Murphy bed so that I can, you know, optimize the
right.
space even a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah.
I know somebody who has a Murphy bed and they kind of swear by it. I was like, do you make it and put it away every day? And they said, almost every day.
Yeah.
And so just because it's sort of like those, the people who have those lofts and then the desk is underneath the bunk bed part of it. And so it's kind of like that. I mean, and if it's a studio, it's not very big.
No, it's not.
Wow.
But it's rent stabilized.
Okay.
And if anyone ever is looking for a Manhattan apartment.
Yeah.
And you need a broker.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a great secret Manhattan broker.
At Mandy Stat, you guys. STADT. Tweet at her.
I couldn't believe it. Like, when I started paying rent for my apartment years ago, it was like about like $1,300, and that's in Chelsea. And
right.
they could charge, you know, I mean, people pay like $4,000.
Yeah.
yeah, it's crazy.
A friend of mine just took the buyout. She had her grandmother's apartment.
Yeah.
Up on 86th and Amsterdam. So, and she owns a toy store on 84th and Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
So,
how fun.
Yeah. And so that she took the buyout that she's lived there since 1988, she's lived there, to buy a place up in the Bronx. And I was like, you work a block and a half from work. And she's like, I know, but she got married. They have two dogs. They have a cat. And she's like, we have to have more space.
Yeah.
And so now they live up in the Bronx, and I think it's a two-bedroom. And
wow.
It's very pretty.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So she just has to take the A or the 1 or whatever the hell. Some sort of subway system.
And she bought it? Like, she owns
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, she bought it.
Well, so. She'll probably, I mean,
the Bronx.
I think this is bandied about a lot, and I've never actually fact-checked it, but Woody Allen apparently made more money from real estate than his movies.
Right.
And anyone I lived in, the music critic for The Post for many years, he left a couple years ago, Dan Aquilante bought a building in Soho for
oh, wow.
a couple hundred thousand dollars and sold it for millions.
Right.
And I
right.
lived there for like a year
well,
or two.
Well, you know,
yeah.
they say McDonald's, all of their profit is in real estate.
Really?
Yeah. Them and the Catholic Church own the most real estate in the world.
Huh.
So at land, you know what Lex Luthor said? They're not making any more of it. And,
it's true,
it's,
yeah.
Stocks may rise and fall.
It's like the imposed shortage that Bitcoin has to use to mimic money. Yeah.
Right. And so here's my thing. So you started 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and just started watching ER.
Nonstop. Yeah.
We're talking, I don't even know the setup of an ER. It's an emergency
okay.
room.
Well,
there's doctors.
Let me
yes.
preface this by saying that I was married from, 2000 to 2005. and living in Chicago and working at a medical school.
Oh.
And so for me, this is like, I never used to watch TV.
Okay.
I used to just, I don't know what I used to do. I was, you know,
something else.
Married to like a musician and would go to, you know, his shows and try and promote his band. And he would, you know, yell at me for he didn't want to be promoted. I mean, it was just like the worst. And I had no life. I had left. I had just, you know, given up on writing.
What did you
on
do in the medical?
I was, so I had, I went to journalism school, but then I got really kind of burned out and I left.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Northwestern in Chicago.
Okay.
And I interned at the Washington Post right when I graduated, which was like, oh, I'm hot shit. And then I got a job at the Des Moines Register, which was like. No, it's actually, I mean, here's why the Des Moines Register is good. When you are first starting out, like I worked with Jeff Zeleny, who's now a big TV star. He was the Obama correspondent for the New York Times. Like the Des Moines Register, papers like that are kind of starter papers. And
fair
then
enough.
If you do okay there, you then go on to the Chicago Tribune, the Baltimore Sun. And so it was great.
It's a good job.
Respect.
It's a good, it's a good gateway.
But what had happened was Gannett had bought it, Gannett, who owns USA Today. And so, you know, they're this Pulitzer Prize winning newspaper with a legacy of being influential because of the Iowa primary. And when Gannett came in, you know, it was like, I mean, I actually got chided for using a word with too many syllables one time.
Wow.
You know, just like total dumbing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just such a dummy when I was 21. And I just, everything I did, I put my heart into. And if there was any slight rejection of like a preposition or a comma, it was just like, I was shattered, you know?
The devastation of it all?
Yeah. Just, you know,
But here's the great thing though. You never fucking stopped. You were like, I'm devastated, but
guess what?
I'm going to make a lateral move and I'm going to do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did stop. I mean, a lot of people, I got a lot of shit for leaving newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I had not only worked there, I had, as part of Northwestern journalism training, you have to actually work at a newspaper. So when the OJ trial was happening, I left Chicago and I was down in Fort Lauderdale for the Sun Sentinel, working there as part of my – so, like, I had other – and I interned at the Village Voice one summer.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so I had all this experience. And then what happened was –
did any of those internships pay?
Yeah. Washington Post was, like, I think the equivalent of, like, $47,000 a year if you were to – I mean, they were highly paid. It was the most competitive.
Right.
It was a very – and it was crazy that I got it.
Because I've only heard about internships.
Someone must have, like, you know, died in a train accident and then I was – they were just scrambling through.
Fair enough.
And they were like, this will be interesting. Let's see what happens, you know. And, yeah, so anyway, I got so burned out in Iowa, and my whole identity was wrapped up in my first husband, my college boyfriend, and just, you know, and every conversation was, you know, him telling me, you know, why, what I thought was wrong. And I just, like, you know, I loved that. Like, I loved parameters and being told, no, you should think this, you know, and so the unhappier I got in my job and, you know, the more like kind of needy and constantly at 3 a.m. driving from Des Moines to Chicago to see him, I finally was just like, I'm going to see about a job outside of newspapers. And so I got a job working for Northwestern Medical School's alumni magazine. And so I did profiles of doctors and I did not so much press releases, but, you know, like little newsletters, and yeah, so that was my job.
Right.
And
so you get to meet all those people essentially and
meet all those like doctors and
stuff. Yeah. Just sort of the community that's a different community.
Totally different world.
It's a totally different world, but closer to this world.
Closer to ER.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
Closer to the actual TV.
So what I remember, I feel like, is when the show was on the air, to me, that was like my tenuous grasp at excitement and showbiz, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I also just never... I've gone from never watching TV. Like, I never watched Friends when it was on. I never... Because I was just, like, always trying to...
No, I only saw it in reruns.
But yeah.
But what you said, when you said that these people were your friends?
Yes.
Like, Lost?
Yeah.
The Friends people were my friends.
They were?
Yeah, because I moved here and I watched... Friends was on three times a day in syndication.
Yeah.
And so I didn't... I had an old junky TV and a VH, you know, just a VCR. Yeah. And I would just be like, I have to... And I watched all of Friends.
Yeah.
And I would talk to my actual friends. I would have coffee with a friend of mine. And I would tell her what was happening with Rachel and Ross. And she was like, you know, that's from like 4 years ago. And I said, it's amazing, though.
That's me. Like, that's why I was like, I got to do ER for this show. Because I have found a way to work into, you know, into conversations, you know, just plot lines from, 1996 medical drama. And she's like, do you realize it's 2018?
Right.
You know, well,
that's been resolved. But it was cool.
It was totally. Well, what's fascinating is also watching the first introduction of cell phones as a plot line. And, you know, everything goes haywire.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
What did they do?
Or Y2K,
the references. What did they do with the cell phones?
Or even just in terms of, like,
computers.
Cultural norms shifting.
Yeah.
The very first season, heartthrob Noah Wiley.
Yes.
Is realizing that there is a trans person he's treating. He's totally weirded out.
Sure.
Referring, you know, she male.
Mm-hmm.
And
94,
then,
man.
Yeah. And then, you know, like.
Everyone's doing their best to this day.
Cut to.
And failing.
The transgendered individual is on the roof jumping off of it and dead.
Right.
You know?
Oh, and dies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what that is? That's like those old lesbian plots where, like, we're going to talk about lesbians, but they're going to kill themselves at the end of it. So sorry.
Yeah.
And so that, oh my God.
Someone needs to write a thesis and get their PhD because of it, because it's just fascinating to see. They deal with lesbianism. They deal with, and I started binge watching it because Ira Madison, who's a columnist at the Daily Beast, and he just started a great podcast called Keep It on Crooked. And I just saw him tweet. He was like, oh, I'm going to start watching, you know, ER. And it's interesting to see the way, because they were kind of progressive when it came to, not with the she-male thing, obviously, but with race. And they dealt with
any mention of trans people at all in 1994. It's sort of like Will and Grace.
Yes.
And then the introduction of anybody who isn't just a straight white, you know, walking around. Man or woman who identifies exactly as a man or a woman from birth is a huge breakthrough in 1994.
Yeah.
You know, it's I think on Friends, the fact that Ross's ex-wife was a lesbian was a huge fucking deal.
Right.
And you're like, okay. And then, of course, there was the series of like, well, we're going to put gay people in everything. And now we're at the point where 45-year-old white guys are sitting in writing rooms going, let's just make any two actresses make out. Right now. Right fucking now. And then fisting jokes. And then anything funny? No, still nothing? Make them make out again. Okay.
Okay, so scrap my Real Milkmen of Outer Queens idea from before, and I'm going to go with, I now have a new TV pitch idea.
Okay. You just got off the
fisting,
plane.
Fisting and fluidity.
Fisting?
But maybe fluidity and fisting. And sexual fluidity. That's
okay.
Like a big thing I've written about.
Okay.
And then, you know, the fisting jokes. It's like a pitch sold.
People,
there you go.
I had a feature a couple of weeks ago who was selling a fisting t-shirt.
What?
That was his merch. He's had the pokey thing where it's two in your vagina and one in your butthole.
Well, that's called the shocker.
The shocker,
yeah.
Fisting
is different.
But no, it was a shocker fisting joke mashup. And I don't know a lot about
that. That's actually
all of this stuff.
Pretty. You got to kind of give it up. I mean,
well,
that's like, wow.
I'm not saying it wasn't good writing. I'm not saying that the guy wasn't. He was bringing it. And I'm not saying that he doesn't need gas money. Because he's featuring in Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah.
So God bless him for making any amount of money.
Do you
at
remember
all.
The joke? Because I mean, I'm really.
I don't. Yeah. His name's Kurt Fletcher.
Okay, cool.
So go look into Kurt Fletcher's
work. I will.
Work
yeah, and, yeah. That's. I mean, because that's a really interesting. Really.
Yeah. What are you going for? What are you going for?
Well, and, I'm just trying to think about how physically it's possible. By the way, before ER, my last binge. To provide me friends.
Yes.
Yeah, was Shameless.
Which I never saw.
Yeah, and so see, and I also now I have this higher tolerance for if I don't like a show immediately. Like I hated the first episode of The Americans, and I really didn't like the first. I hate anything where it's just like...
Did you keep watching? Is that
what
you're about to tell me?
That's what I'm about to tell you, is that if something is critically acclaimed enough...
Yeah.
I just think maybe it gets better. I know that I've met people and I've been really off, made a terrible impression.
And I'm okay.
I get better in season two, you know? So like maybe Shameless does too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're wrong. It's great. But you have to like superhero stuff, which
yeah,
I do.
See,
some people don't.
I don't know. That's why I was saying I think I, you know, might be evictable potentially from the Dork Forest because I don't, I've never been hooked into
sort of traditional
superhero stuff.
Traditional dorkdoms? Yeah. There's over 600 episodes of The Dork Forest. Many of them have done a lot of sports ones.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of like traditionally cool kid things.
Right.
And then it was Kathy Ladman. I asked Kathy Ladman if she'd come on The Dork Forest because she was talking about how much she loves to knit. And she said, but knitting isn't dorky, it's cool. And I said, nope. You're wrong. Pretty dorky.
Yeah.
Plus, your commitment to knitting, that's a dorkdom, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And but anything, you know, it can literally be anything. So
well,
it's...
Well, I'm just, like, I love to get into things, you know? I don't know.
You like to
commit? Yeah, like with my first husband. Yeah,
yes.
Like, I like to just feel like I'm being given direction so I don't have to find it myself.
Right.
You know? And I love that feeling when something makes you feel alive and excited, you know?
But also with boundaries.
A lot of boundaries.
But a lot of direction.
Because someone who watches that many episodes of ER in the span that I did, they have good boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's
the weird time and personal. But so I want to have that moment, that epiphany that happens where you get really into superhero shit and like I feel like I haven't watched the right thing.
Right. I don't know. I am married to a game designer. And
okay.
I've always been sort of a traditional sci-fi. It's been more of a Star Trek. I enjoy Star Wars as well, but I'm more of a Star Trek person.
Yeah.
So I've always been sort of a sci-fi nerd anyway and a big reader of all the different crap pulp novels.
Yeah.
Pulp being not the correct term, I'm told. Yes, Todd Mason. I get it. He's a listener. Anyway.
It's not the correct term?
No. There's more to it than the way I use it. I tend to think of it as...
kind of commercial?
The books that I bought at Kmart as a child.
Oh,
and when
right.
I say bought, I mean shoplifted.
Oh, cool.
I had a library fine that I could not pay off.
Oh, wow.
And so I started stealing books from Kmart.
Wow.
And it turns out what you read drops precipitously when all you're reading is everything you could fit into your back pocket.
Wow.
I've read all the Louis L'Amour novels, which are Westerns.
Okay.
I've read a lot of mercenary African merc books because
of what you... Yeah.
Yes, I've read...
So how does Westworld fit into...
Oh, Westworld,
that.
A show I've not... Here's another thing. You don't know me, Mandy Stat Miller. And by the way, it's at Mandy Stat.
Yeah.
So,
M-A-N-D-Y-S-T-A-D-T.
That's right. And the book Unwifable is hilarious. So
yeah, go to unwifablebook.com.
There you go. And so, sure, what the heck? It's the middle of the show. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And, but the what was the question?
Westworld. Westworld. Where does it fit into?
Well, Westworld is dystopian future science fiction, right?
It's like Blade Runner.
Right. Yeah. But Star Wars is just a Western in space anyway.
Right, right.
So Westworld is just a Western in space, but also in space.
Okay, okay.
So, I mean, like, it's super redundant.
Right.
What I... my father once said, he saw me reading dystopian... No, he said, "What are you reading?" And I said, "It's a science fiction book about a dystopian future." And he mm-hmm. goes, "Have you looked around?"
And we're in it, babe.
Yeah,
did he call you babe?
He doesn't. Okay. He does call me honey. He's the only one who's allowed, and mostly because I'm the youngest of six.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow!
And he's
cool.
My dad. So, but the he probably said it to me in 1990. Mm-hmm. He said, "Have you looked around? We live in a dystopian present."
Right.
It's the future is going to be just like now. You're right. Going to drive a 5-year-old car, mm-hmm. and every day you're going to look for work. Don't sweat it.
Right.
And he is not wrong. And because mm-hmm. my father is right 85% of the time, and then 15% of the time, he's handed you a monkey's paw, which is a cursed monkey's paw.
I like that you think in percentages because I find that works very well as a guidance stick of sorts in life.
I do think in percentages.
Yeah,
weirdly
so do I.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was good at math. That's the dorkiest thing about me.
Oh, interesting.
I say this in the book.
Yeah.
So this is how desperate I am to get this fact out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a 5 on the calculus AP when I was 15. Still the most impressive thing I've ever done.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just never did math again. I actually sat there trying to write like stand-up jokes.
Yeah.
But never once thought I could ever do stand-up comedy or anything like that until years and years and years later. But yeah, when I was supposed to be taking, because there's calculus AB and then calculus BC,
right.
And there were only two kids who had already passed the AB. It was me and my friend Sarah, and we would set, and I wrote the joke, "I'm having car trouble. Trouble is I don't have a car." And then I found out that Sinbad had that joke.
Right.
So I don't know, like, if word from the calculus class got out to him or what.
Could have just been a parallel thinking because it's wordplay. It's,
I don't know.
Like, nope,
yeah, no,
mine.
No, yeah.
Mine.
But so I never – I just fucked around and I never did math again. But I do think that that is how my brain works.
Are you drawn to math sometimes where you're like, I kind of would like to see if I'm still good at it?
Oh, I mean, yes. I just
because I have the same. Why wouldn't you?
Well, I feel like it's a, you know, it's like a motor scooter that provided the best time of your life that, you know, is so dinged up and the engine doesn't work anymore.
But you keep it around.
That it's like an embarrassment. Yeah. But you haven't thrown it out yet.
I have a Mac Classic in the garage.
Oh, you do?
It's got
That's
two
cool.
megs of RAM.
Nice.
And I don't know what I'm saving it for, except for that it has a video game on it that I really
like. Oh, I think that's great. Definitely save it, yeah.
They turn them into you can go online and they've turned them into aquariums.
Oh.
So you could take and they could repurpose it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Right, as of right now, there's room in the garage. It's fine.
Yeah.
So but the you know, I took Latin. I was not good at it.
Oh, I've never taken that.
I took 4 years of Latin in high school.
Yeah.
And then I took a semester because I was trying to get retro credits in college. But my brother, Russ, signed me up for fifth semester Latin.
Oh, wow.
So that I would get all of my language requirements out of the way.
Yeah.
If I got a B or better mm-hmm. in Latin, fifth semester Latin at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Guess what?
That's a great school.
Nope. I went and told my Latin teacher in high school that I was taking fifth semester Latin. Literally, she said to me, "You're not good at Latin, Jackie."
Really?
And I was like, fair enough. I got a C. And I think I got a C because I'm a good sport. And I was willing to do all the homework. Not well, but I did it all.
But you did it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like how I got a letter in track. I got the pity letter. I think they even announced that at the awards, you know.
Fuck.
It's just like she keeps coming.
She keeps showing up, you guys. Let's give her a letter.
Yeah,
that's great.
Maybe
what did
she'll
you run
stop
in track?
Coming.
Did you run?
I did shot put and high jump.
There.
And
ooh. High jump is kind of cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't
that's
good.
The,
I've
that,
never
that's
I've never
ran,
been good at sports.
You plant yourself and then you try to go up backwards over the bar.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. I hate being bad at things.
Yeah.
And I've always been bad at sports.
Well.
So. And I'm 6'2", so I get asked about sports 5 times every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Since you were tiny.
Yeah.
Since you were 6'1", I'm sure.
Which I was at Did like you? 5.
Right. Yeah, you're like, are you going to play basketball? Why don't you shut it?
Yeah.
And so, because it's, in addition to being tall, you also have to have the motor skills and.
Yeah, you kind of need to have a certain level of connection to your body and personal confidence. Mm-hmm. Two things I never had until a lot later on in life.
Right.
So now I'd probably be amazing. I should try out now for like my high school basketball team.
You would be amazing in your high school basketball team. Less bendy. Because I remember my 40s. It was great.
Yeah.
So who were your favorite characters in ER? I'm going to bring it back. I'm not above
it. No, I appreciate it. So I would say that probably the woman who plays Abby, who is totally blanking on her name now. She's in The Affair. Do you watch The Affair on Showtime?
No.
I should know her name, but...
it isn't Juliana.
No. So she replaced Juliana. She was brought in... And she...
Oh, wait. Was she a tiny black-haired lady?
I feel like I have
Did she go into AA or something? Did she have a drinking problem?
Yes.
That was the arc I saw, like a 6-episode arc.
Really?
Maybe. Yes.
Yes.
Where she was trying to get sober and then try not, you know, there was trouble. Yeah, there was a lot of time on the L train.
Yes. 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 Yeah. So she I think, was on more episodes than Juliana... And I mean, which is, you know, just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But she was really, I mean, I talked about her like I would talk shit about a friend to Pat.
Yeah.
Where I would just be like, I hate these shows where it's just like the girl who's kind of cute and then she just is like kind of mouthy and she's supposed to be just hilarious and she's not funny.
Okay.
And then there was this episode where some girl was being mean to her on the train and needed help. And then after she looked at her broken ankle, she said, yeah, your ankle is broken and you're a bitch. Mm. And like, I laughed. Yeah, yeah. It was like a stupid, you know, and I was like, you know,
now
what?
We're friends.
I was like, I like Abby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as I would have if I would have just gone out with pals. And, you know,
and the
they would have done
you
something. Yes.
Yes. You're like, I don't like her. I don't like.
Yeah.
No, she's kind of funny, actually.
I came around. Yeah. I just totally came around to her.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. She's, I don't know.
Did they end up living together? Her and the tiny, skinny, pale guy? Who was her boyfriend who liked her forever?
So she was with initially Noah Wiley.
Okay.
Oh, no. First, she was with, the hot Croatian character who was kind of brought in to replace Clooney.
Okay.
They always kind of just had like,
oh, did
you know,
he have an accent?
Yes.
They
always had Clooney light. His name is Kovac.
And was he
Luka
constantly
Kovac.
Talking about Sarajevo and the the dissolving of Yugoslavia?
Well, just he, you know.
I wrote a joke about the dissolving of Yugoslavia, which is the only reason I remember it. And it didn't work.
Okay.
And it was essentially, it was about Yugoslavia, and it started working after Yugoslavia dissolved. And I insisted on doing it for years after that anyway, because fuck you. It took me 3 years to get that down to a 47-second joke about the Mall of America.
That's great.
Anyway, so.
That's great.
But, so that was that. That's who she went out with first.
Yeah, that's who she was with first. And he said something to her when he was kind of drunk one night. And it was something my first husband said to me, and I just kind of bothered me that it wasn't made more of a big deal. He said, you know, you're not even that pretty. And what my ex-husband had said to me was, he said, you're not smart, you're not funny, you're not pretty, and you're not a good writer.
This guy's a catch.
Yeah, he's all right. He was, I mean, I was a nightmare. Like, so I don't... I think we're both.
We don't
just,
have to vilify him, but I'm just saying.
I think we're both on the spectrum, you know, of various mental disorders, and it just was a bad intersection.
Bad
you know?
Intersection.
Yeah.
That graph needs to be redrawn,
yeah.
And so it came to pass.
Totally. XY axis. Yeah. See, now I'm
all right.
Getting
well,
all pumped
graphy.
About math.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, so he said that to Abby.
Yeah.
And it was just like it was never kind of referenced again. And it made me think a little bit about, you know, something that has been pointed out to me about my fighting style, which is that I am able to whip out a long catalog of every grievance that I have against you over time. And so, like, when Pat so when Pat and I fight, it's like I will
A notepad of resentments in the back of your brain?
Yes.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's a juggling skill.
While I was writing the book,
yeah,
I just was so – it was like my body was turning, like, gray from just toxic rage and resentment. And Pat was like – both Pat and I are sober.
Yeah.
He was like – you know, I think you should like try and do your fourth step.
Right.
The first time I tried to do it, my sponsor went back to drinking and just like the whole thing didn't work.
You don't have to take that. That doesn't have to be your fault if your sponsor.
Oh, it's not my fault. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just, right. I'm
oh,
saying,
that was just, it was,
I'm
it was
saying
truncated.
That is my way out of the fact that I'm 7 years sober and I still haven't, I mean, I kind of now have done my fourth step because I did stop writing the book and did it. And I, in like, I think 40 minutes.
The book sounds like your fourth step.
Had written out 300 resentments. Like, yeah, the book, I mean, but like.
But then tightened up and made funny.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the thing is I think people, the fourth step, for those people who don't know, we're all buried in 12-step programs in the world.
In
so
LA,
the fourth step is the one where you take an inventory of your resentments. And there's several columns.
And you have to look at your part in it. So you
right.
Have
it's
to
like
look
what happened.
At, so even if someone like.
What they did to you and what your part in it, even sort of like a 50-50 kind of car accident type of thing.
Yeah.
The car accident wouldn't have happened if your car wouldn't have been there, even if it's not your fault at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the smallest thing that you're. That you can take responsibility for.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah. Well, and
is.
I love the one that's in the column self pity. Like self-pity, self-seeking status. Because, I mean, I'm very good at self-pity, too. So,
right. There's an arrogant victimhood that's all over.
Oh, yeah.
That people are like, I'm the victim and it's your fault. And I'm like, wait a minute. Regroup.
Yeah,
separate
get,
those
like,
two things
you
out.
Get, like,
you can do it.
To being a victim.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah. So
it doesn't mean bad things didn't happen to you, by the way.
So, of course not. Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, no. It's not a.
But you have to process it.
It's kind of almost like a selfish thing to do because it allows you to get past it. But anyway, so it's interesting to notice how my friend Abby dealt with.
How did your friend Abby deal with it?
I can't think of her real life name. Oh, Maura Tierney.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Maura Tierney.
Excellent.
So she it was never that she didn't then bring up that shitty thing he said to her. 25 more times.
Right. Every
over
time.
Over the next 7 years.
Yes.
Which I would have done.
Yeah.
Like, you have that in your arsenal.
Did you say that? Yes, I guess you did. Bam, right back at you.
Right. Yeah. So,
wow.
So then after that, she dates Noah Wiley when they have sex in the hospital because they have been sequestered because of
quarantine.
What seems like quarantine because what they think is
why
smallpox.
Have a hospital? Why have a hospital episode and no quarantine? That would be leaving a gun on the table right there.
Yeah,
it's
well, the great
off.
Thing about I mean ER should just be called like unluckiest hospital ever because at a certain point and you have to look up this. Specific scene on YouTube. Like I'm gonna tweet this. There's a guy who is crotchety racist sexist.
Oh, the admin guy?
No, he's not an admin guy. Oh. He is he's an amazing surgeon.
Okay. House.
Yeah. House, but even more...
Not likable at all?
Yeah, not really likable except in, you know, moments where someone is, like, seeing just how kind of lonely and miserable he is or whatever. But this dude gets his fucking arm chopped off by a helicopter, a trauma helicopter, landing on the roof, and he's fighting about something, and he's, like, lifting his arm, and you see the fucking arm come off. Huge ratings for ER,
right?
You know? But okay, so at the moment when it, you know, I hate the term "jump the shark," but like,
yeah,
the moment where they kill the dude off. Dr. Romano is his name. The moment when they kill Dr. Romano off is when a helicopter, some part of it gets like kind of goes hanky. I don't know if it's a rope or I don't know how helicopters work.
Right.
But like it just starts, right. It just starts going haywire.
Okay.
And you see Romano having, you know, just real anxiety. And then they even do like a cut to flashback of his arm being sliced off. And you see he's having a hard time. He goes outside to kind of calm down. Meanwhile, the helicopter starts going haywire. He looks up, he sees that the helicopter is falling, and he says, no, and he dies getting crushed by a helicopter. So that happens.
Those are two different scenes. He has his arm chopped off by a helicopter.
Yeah, that's one episode. Yeah, and then later
he's crushed by a helicopter.
That's right. Yeah.
That might be sloppy writing.
What I was saying to Pat was that, like, I think they were just like high in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Because that's something that like I would kind of laugh my ass off if I was.
That's insane.
It's so insane. And then the only way they address it, they don't find him under the helicopter, nothing like that, is that one of the doctors says, that guy must have done something bad to a helicopter in his past life.
Oh, no.
That's the only.
And then he screams at the sky, no, like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Not okay. Not okay. Oh, by the way, that arm getting chopped off, that's that maybe you'll like Doctor Strange because that's his origin story. His hands get all fucked up.
Oh, that's cool.
If his arm had gotten chopped off, he would have to have gone to get a mystical arm so that then he could just operate with his mystical
arm. I am very fascinated by prosthetics and orthotics and the myoelectric arm and the way that the brain connects to the nerve. It is really interesting. There's also – I have to tell you some of the guest stars, though.
Okay.
So there's an episode where James Woods plays a – Stephen Hawking type character.
Okay.
If you ever watched Breaking Bad.
I saw the first season and then I was like, this isn't going to end well.
It's like one of my top two favorite shows.
I'm not saying it's not well done.
Oh, no,
I never saw Godfather 2 because I saw the end of Godfather 1 and I was like, oh, these people are never going to, this is never going to end
well.
So
you watch things only when you think it's going to work out?
Mm-hmm.
That is
adorable. Yes.
That's why
I love Supergirl.
It makes me want to just like hug you, you know?
Right. I'm enormously huggable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, I was really good with the troops overseas. I hugged every single one of those young men in Iraq.
Breaking Bad has a couple iconic characters. So Jesse.
Oh, the kid.
He is on there and he is like plays a stoner, of course, but he looks so young, and he's definitely one of those people who got more attractive as he aged.
Right.
Because he has, like, real kind of tweezed, skinny eye. Like, he just looks like a piece of shit, you know? Like,
like a meth head.
Yes.
But, like, 15.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also, the woman who plays Marie, she is on there, and she, hilariously enough, is taking crystal meth. As a mom trying to get things done, which is just like that made my week when
Marie?
No one was that excited when I was like, you guys, guess who? And whenever I realize one of these things, I go into Twitter and I search the terms because I'm like, someone out there has to have come to the same realization as me.
Oh, yeah.
And I need to know someone else is excited about
this. You're never alone. You're never alone.
Because the people around me don't understand what I care about.
Which one was Marie?
Marie was Skyler's sister who was just a very well
She married to the DEA?
Character.
Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She just was hilarious, like in terms of just, you know, the sister who's constantly fucking needling.
Right.
You know, and just very well done.
Did you ever watch Deadwood?
No, I tried with that and with Oz.
Okay.
And I just kind of
Orange is the New Black? Did you try that
one? Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
okay.
No, I've seen all of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
I like that. Yeah, for sure. And Weeds, yeah.
And Weeds? Okay.
Genji Cohen or however you say it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't I haven't watched any of those, but but I understand that they're all incredibly well done.
Yeah, they are. So, good with the.
How about Westworld? Did you watch that?
Yeah, love that. Yeah,
that was that was supposed to be super intense, but really well done.
It's wonderful. It's just that's like a very fun. If you're at all interested in artificial intelligence and the idea of like the singularity and all of those concepts, which are just the most fun rabbit holes to go down.
Right.
That show deals with that really, really well.
Did you ever try to watch The Expanse?
I've never even heard of that show.
Oh, I think it's on Sci-Fi Network or Showtime.
Oh, okay.
And it's essentially a noir, futuristic, noir political, sociopolitical, whatever TV show. But it's like Humphrey Bogart. So that's what kind of, but it's in space and it's actually really, really good.
Okay.
And,
I mean, I like,
and the science is right. Is why I thought.
Is Casablanca, is that noir?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Casablanca.
Yeah.
I don't,
it's kind of like that, but
whenever I hear noir, it kind of just makes me think like homework
and hats. It always makes me think about someone in a fedora.
Homework and hats.
Wait, there's a new reality show.
New show.
New reality show, guys. Hats and I want hats and homework to be just for alliteration's sake, for
totally,
kicks.
Totally. Yeah.
And so
I'm trying to think of some other spectacular guest stars.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, by the way, Abby, yes, John Stamos comes on at a certain point, of course.
Is he a doctor at some point?
He's an EMT, and then he becomes a doctor. Yeah. And he's the same, you know, TV trope as George Clooney, where he's, you know, just a guy who just, you know, doesn't play well with others because he's trying to take care of the patients.
Oh, is he a rebel?
Yes.
That's very Dirty Harry of him. It's like, yeah, we're going to have to fire you because you're a rebel.
Yeah.
Turns out, but you get things done.
Did you watch House of Cards?
No. We're living it. I'm good.
Okay. So the first season there is
I heard that was amazing, too.
Yeah. And Scandal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge. I mean, it's fun. It's a little more
cartoonish.
Lighter. Yeah. I mean, House of Cards. Anyway, but there's a wonderful character, Zoe Barnes, who is basically a sexually manipulative young female reporter who then kind of
unwifeable book.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
anyway,
I wrote a piece called 50 Shades of Zoe Barnes.
Excellent.
And the producer of both House of Cards and 50 Shades of Black, or 50, what is it?
Gray.
I can't believe it's a black. Interesting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Has anyone taken that yet? Has anyone done that?
Okay. Next up.
Dana Brunetti, I sent it to him and he was like, oh, nice integration of my two biggest works.
Yeah.
No, I definitely. But so she has a great, she makes me very uncomfortable in ER because she is so conniving and aggressive in trying to just seduce John Stamos when John Stamos is committed to Linda Cardellini, who was in, Freaks and Geeks, famous as
Wow. It's that's the other part is that like I have behaved poorly historically in life. And then but watching the bad behavior on television,
it's uncomfortable sometimes.
It's monumentally uncomfortable. I was like, I'm either that person or I know that person and I don't like either of those two people, so I'm working on myself over here. So, but it doesn't mean that it isn't well done.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, no, there are sometimes you watch movies and you're like, this is more stressful than my life. Why am I doing this to myself?
Right.
Yeah, I've heard people say that about Breaking Bad. I loved it just, you know, I love anything that gives me new insight into the human condition. And for me, Breaking Bad really did that.
Yeah.
In terms of the whole
psychologically, it's a breakdown that's kind of exceptional as far as, and it's something I haven't seen, you know, from an angle of, just shitty poverty and try and what you're willing to do to get out of it kind of thing. And then how it changes you if you're actually quite good at something that you never thought you'd be good at,
yeah.
which was being a horrible person.
Well, and it also actually, it's one of the best portrayals of, and this isn't a popular thing to say, but just the burden of being a man who has all of his life faced the social expectations of masculinity because
oh, yeah.
his masculinity is so completely eroded away. And when he has that first feeling of fuck it,
yep.
he gets back his sense of
self
of power. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, the reason why I have empathy for that is like, oh God, I just did Jim and Sam and they tweeted at me. I got about 100 tweets saying
that
I said like every other word.
Oh, I saw you tweet. I saw you tweeted. You're like, I guess I said like too much.
I said, you know, so I feel like I need something to have, like a Pavlovian kind of.
To stop saying
exactly.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
I say here's the thing all the time.
Okay. Well, my father, who I talk about in the book, is a combat vet who was blinded and severely disfigured in Vietnam when he was 21, and he took two AK-47 rounds through the face, and he has a head injury that affects his personality, which I didn't realize until I took a neuroscience course when I was in my 20s. I just always thought my dad was impulsive.
Did
and
he work?
Compulsive and
did
swears
he end up
a lot.
Or?
Yeah, yeah. He got his master's and yeah, he's not like stupid. He's a really smart guy.
No, no. I just but thought he, it
no,
sounds
no,
like
no,
he was debilitating.
When you, no, he, no. It's not debilitating. It's just
he's blind and he's always worked and he
yeah
and he took two rounds in Vietnam.
He did. Yeah. Well,
and,
so my I think because I grew up with this super alpha guy, you don't get a lot more alpha than two bullets in the face. What else you got?
What
you
did know, he?
You
what does he do, or what did he do?
He got a master's in counseling, and he does. I mean, he's retired now, but
right.
he did counseling for a lot of vets.
For vets,
vets love him because
right.
He's been in the shit.
Yes,
even though he was only there for a month, so you know.
Well. That's why
nice
my dad.
Nice job, Dad.
You weren't good at it, were you?
The most yeah. awkward thing and a wonderful reflection of how fucked everything perpetually is in the world is that there's this wonderful insurance you get if you have any connection to military, which mm-hmm. is USAA. They, mm-hmm. they're so great because they reimburse the ATM fees. So you never have to pay them. They, you know,
oh, my bank does that. Anyway,
yeah. Oh, yours does too.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, but you know, a lot of great benefits.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad didn't qualify because he was only there for a month.
Oh.
And I got it because of my first what's that?
No.
Oh, my first husband had some military connection, so I married into it that way.
Huh.
And but I mean, I just wow, what a reflection of just how everything is always fucked.
Right, right. There's very little justice.
Yeah.
Unless you insist, which my father was in the Marines.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah,
he, so same as
but
my,
not
yeah.
well. No, no, oh, not at all like that. Not at all like yours. Because my father essentially quit the Marines when he heard about Vietnam. He was like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
See, my dad enrolled. Like,
yeah.
He didn't, he dropped
you're
out of
enlisted.
Santa Clara.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Enrolled. You don't say that. Yeah.
My dad, he matriculated into the Army so that he could go to Vietnam.
My dad matriculated at Khe Sanh. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. My dad was like, oh no, there people are dying there. I got shit to do. And so I come from a long line of runners.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And, sure. Yeah.
But so I feel like I've always seen with a very clear eyed, the kind of expectations and burden sometimes that are
well,
put on.
And the way some men take that,
yeah.
take it upon
yeah.
themselves and sort of just buy into what they've been sold.
Sure. Yeah.
They've been sold this bill of goods and you're like, it's going to be okay, man. Yeah. Like, I have four brothers and a dad. And
oh, my goodness.
They are
gracious.
A variety of different kinds
are
of men.
Are you Catholic?
My mother was.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And as my sister likes to say, you know, the condom was invented in the 1700s.
Huh.
And then someone said, you wouldn't have been born if your mom and dad would have used a condom. She said, no, I would have been born. I would have been a Rockefeller, like I was supposed to be born.
Oh, wow.
Noblesse oblige. It would have all worked out. I've had now work myself up from the shithole.
Yeah,
yeah. And she's doing fine. Anyway, so, but yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, no, so, I mean, the variety of, yeah, it's, whatever, we've digressed into something else.
Sorry about
but
that.
But let's bring it back to ER. Well, first of all, let's do this. Unwifablebook.com, Mandy Statmiller, at Mandy Stat, MandyStadt.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, it. How many episodes were you watching a day? Five?
Well, there was...
I mean, that's 13 seasons.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
whatever.
There were days where I could watch, like, 10 in a row.
Yeah.
If I was cleaning, I just don't like to. I don't like to be. Yeah, I don't like to be alone with my brain. Essentially,
yeah.
And so to me, it's like
I never did get whether or not you were.
What?
Was Pat? Did Pat have to watch this?
Well,
or did you have headphones?
He will say, "Could you do the headphones?"
Okay.
Other times, he's a very enjoyable person to watch TV with because he can.
He's
just
hilarious.
Constantly, yeah.
Yes.
He can just constantly. Cut everything down.
Right, the riffing.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like the shittier something is, just the more fun it is to watch with Pat.
Yes.
Like if you ever have a gun to your head and you have to watch The Bachelor, mm-hmm. watch it with Pat Dixon because...
I would
best.
Only watch it with a gun to my head and with Pat Dixon. So, hey, we are at an hour, by the way.
Great. Thanks so much.
More.
This is so much fun. I feel like I didn't do ER justice. And
I think you've whetted the appetite of those who might want to go out and it's on Hulu.
Well,
it's all there?
It's all there, yeah.
Okay.
So the other just kind of pitch I want to make for people doing a rewatch of it is that it makes you feel better about whatever thing you've done that is wrong or bad. Because you don't have smallpox.
Right.
You haven't been crushed by a helicopter after getting your fucking arm chopped off by one. You know?
Right. There's any
it really genuinely makes you feel better.
Excellent.
It puts things in perspective. Anyway. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. You now know some things about ER.
Yeah.
I certainly know more than I did before. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thank you for listening, Rangers. You know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?